Have you ever wondered if there's more you could be doing to prepare your body for birth and postpartum recovery? Or perhaps you're experiencing pelvic pain, pressure, or leakage and don't know where to turn? In this episode of the Golden Hour Birth Podcast, we sit down with Brooke, a pelvic floor physical therapist with over 16 years of experience. Brooke answers the question on many pregnant and postpartum moms' minds: how can pelvic floor therapy help optimize my body for birth and address common postpartum concerns? She shares invaluable insights on how pelvic floor therapy can help with everything from pregnancy aches and pains to preventing tears during birth to healing painful sex postpartum. If you've ever felt in the dark about your pelvic health during this transformative time in your life, this episode will empower you with the knowledge and resources you need to take control of your well-being. Tune in to discover how pelvic floor therapy could be the missing piece in your pregnancy and postpartum journey. The Golden Hour Birth Podcast, a podcast about real birth stories and creating connections through our shared experiences.
Childbirth isn't just about the child. It's about the person who gave birth, their lives, their wisdom, and their empowerment.
We're Liz
and Natalie,
the Golden Hour Birth Podcast, and we're here to laugh with you,
cry with you,
and hold space for you. Welcome to the Golden Hour Birth Podcast. I am your co-host, Liz.
And I'm your co-host, Natalie. And tonight we have Brooke on. Brooke is a pelvic floor physical therapist. So I am super excited to have her here. Thanks so much for coming on tonight, Brooke.
Happy to join you guys, and that I love what you guys do with the podcast, and you know, can't wait to share some knowledge.
Thank you. So if you want to go ahead and tell listeners a little bit about you and your family and your business.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Dr. Brooke Kalisiak. I've been a pelvic physical therapist in St. Louis, Missouri for the last 16 years. I own Legacy Physical Therapy, which is a pelvic physical therapy company where myself and four other pelvic physical therapists have a passion for helping basically people with pelvic issues, because both men and women can have pelvic issues. I know we're going to be focusing more on the pregnancy side of things, so more on the female side, but we help all people with pelvic issues. I opened Legacy Physical Therapy because I, 15, almost 16 years ago now, I saw a hole in the St. Louis market where there just weren't any people out there talking about pelvic health and things you could do to prevent issues like bladder leakage or pelvic organ prolapse or pain with sex later in life. And all these people, the only options that they had were to, one, get told that they were potentially crazy by their doctor, like, oh, it's all in your head, or really there's nothing wrong, or if it gets bad enough, we can do a surgery, or maybe there's some medications we can try, but they have a lot of side effects. But those are kind of the only options people were being told, when pelvic physical therapy is a wonderful conservative treatment option that can help people avoid things like bladder leakage and pelvic heaviness and pressure or pain with sex. And I wanted to create a place where people could come to get this conservative treatment option and feel comfortable and safe and welcome, because we realize they're talking about not so comfortable things. And so that's how Legacy Physical Therapy was born. For a while, it was just me, and now I'm, you know, super happy to say that's myself and four other pelvic physical therapists. And we've created our little kind of pelvic health community that I just love kind of sharing out there with people. I had a personal interest in it myself. I have an 18-year-old son who's about to graduate from high school. But basically, when he was born, there was no kind of education on things that really that I could do to optimize my body for labor and delivery or for the postpartum recovery. Mm-hmm. And looking back at some of the, like, the tips that even my doctor gave me, it was afterwards, it was kind of like, don't do anything for 6 to 8 weeks, and then you get a green light and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. This, as a physical therapist, this makes no sense. Like, there should be like this gradual return to exercise and fitness, even though I was an active person and that, but so I knew that there was education that needed to get out there into the community, and that, and seeing that in my own birth and the birth of other family members, you know, and just talking with other PTs and just our patients along the way, it's like we've made strides over the years, but there's definitely a lot more that we can do to help women kind of optimize their body for their best pregnancy, their best labor and delivery, and their best recovery afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you a generalized like physical therapist at all before you had your son?
I worked in the outpatient orthopedic world when I came out of physical therapy school. Mm-hmm. And I did that for about 6 years. And then I knew I wanted to specialize and open up my own place. And I originally, when I went to PT school, I thought I would end up in sports because that's how I got into PT in the first place, because of sports injuries. Mm-hmm. But then I learned at Washington University's program in physical therapy here in St. Louis, they have several wonderful women's health practitioners there. And so I got to learn a little bit more about women's health and pelvic physical therapy in school, and just always had kind of an interest in it. And had, whenever I had pregnant patients that at my orthopedic clinic that I worked at, I really loved working with them. And so I was like, yeah, this is the niche that I want to go into. So the joke in my family is that legacy physical therapy is my second child. So I originally thought I would have two children. And instead, when my son was about three, I decided to open up a physical therapy practice. And so that became my second child.
Oh, so cute. I mean, they are like the normal kind of age gap, you could say.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Do you feel like they're like you can tell a difference in women that come to you post-birth if they were like doing work with you like pre-birth? Like, do you think you can tell a difference?
Definitely. I'm actually working with a client right now who I got to see her after the delivery of her second child for the first time, and she was dealing with some pubic pain issues as well as some pelvic pain and like around the scar tissue because she tore with her delivery and was really having trouble returning to comfortable and enjoyable sex because of that. And so we worked together during, this was about 2 years ago with the birth of her second. And then she got pregnant again in 2023 with her third. And she called right away. She's like, I'm pregnant. What can we do now? I don't want what happened last time to happen again. And so, you know, we checked in, probably saw each other for maybe a handful of visits throughout her pregnancy just to kind of keep assessing things and making sure that everything was moving well. And that she wanted to do another natural delivery. So making sure that she could push and she had good flexibility in that. And I just saw her back for her 6 week postpartum assessment. And she was just ecstatic because she's like, this one felt completely different. Like this was so much easier, so much less tearing, so much less pain. I just felt much more prepared for it. And that, so That was awesome. You know, sometimes it's that's why I love what I do, is kind of getting to hear those kind of things from my clients. That,
yeah, that is so true. Just hearing that is being like, oh, this is like exactly why I'm, you know, right where I'm supposed to be. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, no, it's been fun in that. So it has been really fun seeing members of the community really like, we can see that the movement is starting to take shape and go forward more, where women are reaching out and realizing that there's something they can do to take ownership of their birth, their labor and delivery, and their recovery afterwards. And we are getting more and more women who are just reaching out to us because like a friend or a family member said they should, you know, they're pregnant and they should try pelvic physical therapy to help, you know, prepare their body for labor and delivery, or that they saw something on TikTok or Instagram that's like, oh, you should need to see a pelvic physical therapist during, you know, your pregnancy and that. And so we're getting people reaching out now and, you know, wanting to schedule with us. And I love that. That's awesome. The funny thing that we kind of see with all those patients, though, is that they're like, I really don't know why I'm here, but I'm like, nothing's really going wrong, but I heard I'm supposed to come see you. And then so we do a lot of education with them as far as, you know, what we're going to be evaluating and then ultimately what we can help with to kind of get them to be able to have that birth story that they're hoping for, or to have that pain-free as pregnancy and delivery as possible. So, you know, kind of meeting them where they're at for their goals.
Definitely. So for a pregnant or postpartum mom, when they come to your office for their initial visit, what does that usually look like?
Yeah, so it really depends on what's going on with them. So, because we do see people, I'd say a good portion of the people we see are symptomatic, that they are dealing in pregnancy. They might be dealing with pelvic pain or low back pain or pressure, heaviness, leakage, pubic symphysis dysfunction or lightning crotch, you know, all those fun things that we can experience during pregnancy. Or postpartum, they might be dealing with an abdominal separation that's not healing, or again, bladder leakage or pain with sex, pelvic organ prolapse. So a lot of the people we see are symptomatic. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, we're looking at what we're doing a lot of talking with them about their symptoms and what they're experiencing, like what makes it worse, what makes it better. And, you know, what have they tried that's helped, that hasn't helped, so we can get a full picture. But then the first part of the actual assessment, we're really looking at their body. We're looking at their whole body, not just the pelvic area. And that's one thing that I'll put out there for the general community is that if you have if you are going to see a pelvic physical therapist and the only thing that they ever look at is your pelvic floor, you have an entire rest of your body. You have like over 35 muscles that attach just to the pelvis themselves. And so we need to look at all of those muscles. So we start out at looking at posture and how people are breathing, because your diaphragm and your pelvic floor are intimately linked together, as well as with your abdominal muscles and your back muscles, kind of like this whole core canister. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at how all those are working together, and then how strong like your hip and your back and your buttocks muscles are and how flexible they are, because we don't just want something that's super strong but can't move. It needs to be flexible and move. And then we do assess the pelvic floor muscles to the patient's comfort level. The gold standard for assessing the pelvic floor is similar to a gynecological evaluation, where we're inserting one gloved finger into the vaginal canal. There are certain situations where that's not appropriate, you know, certain medical situations, or if the person in pregnancy, if the person's been put on pelvic rest, like, you know, we're not going to do that. And there's other ways that we can assess, but that gives us the most information as to what's going on with the pelvic floor, how it's moving, how well it's contracting and relaxing. Let's see what's happening when the person, if it's a pregnant person, what's happening when they try and create a push. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people think they're pushing correctly or really have no clue if they're pushing correctly or not. Yeah. And they do something and they're actually doing a big contraction of the pelvic floor, which is closing off the vaginal canal and closing off the door there. And it's like, no, we need to let go and go the other direction. So that is a big thing that we look at. So I talked a little bit on the symptomatic side, but like we were talking about earlier, we're seeing more people coming in who don't have any, who don't have any kind of symptoms. They just heard that pelvic physical therapy might be helpful for pregnancy or for their postpartum recovery. So on the pregnant side, we can, if you're asymptomatic, we're still going to assess all those things, because you might have some tightness or some dysfunction in how things move, but it's not causing any symptoms. And we get to identify that and help you kind of show you some exercises or stretches or activities to do at home to kind of get that moving in the right direction so that you can optimize your body for labor and delivery. So we get to also play around with different birthing positions to see what positions you can best create a push in. And we get to play around with your breath and see how you're doing kind of controlling that, especially if the woman's trying for a natural delivery and wants to make sure, you know, she has some different breathing techniques and things that she can do. A lot of times, I love getting partners involved to come in, especially in like the third trimester, teaching them how to do perineal massage with their pregnant partner. Cause I don't know about you, but, you know, 9 months pregnant, trying to reach down there and do perineal massage to yourself is not the most comfortable or easy thing to do, but there's benefits to it. So if you have a willing partner to help you do that, that can be so much easier. Or teaching the partners different techniques and things they can do to help support, you know, you during labor and delivery. And then getting to play around with that and feel that ahead of time so that they can get a sense of, we have this sheet that we have people go through, like, try all these different positions and rank them. Like, which ones do you like the best? Because guess what? In the moment when your contraction is going full strength, you're not going to be thinking about, oh, yeah, remember these 9 different positions that, yeah, you're not going to have a clue. So have them written down. Mm-hmm. And your partner can be the one like, hey, remember you really liked how it felt in sideline with your leg up on the peanut ball? Why don't we try that position? Or, you know, so we can kind of play around with that and make their list of favorites together and that. So,
yeah.
And then on the postpartum side, if someone's asymptomatic, a lot of times we're looking at or talking to people who are wondering about returning to fitness and who are like, you know what, my doctor gave me the green light at 6 weeks, but that just seems silly for me to, you know, I ultimately want to run a marathon, but I know I shouldn't start training for a marathon right now. Like, how should I ramp back up? So we can assess their pelvic floor muscles to make sure that they can accept a load and be able to withstand any pressure that way, especially if they want to return to running. We can look at the abdominal muscles and see, are they engaging well? Are things coordinating together? If they had a separation, is that healing back together? Because again, all those things can be asymptomatic. But then if the woman is wanting to do something like higher level fitness, like a burn boot camp HIIT workout, or, you know, wants to get back to, you know, longer distance running or that, that's a lot of stress and strain on the body. And so making sure that all the muscles have strengthened and are supporting them the right way and coordinating together the right way, so that she doesn't end up with an injury down the road.
Yeah. I'm kind of kicking myself in the butt for not finding you 3 years ago. Yeah. I'm like, I had the chiropractic care and like that was great. But at the same time, it was like, you know, while I was in it and the exercises and like just like little things like that could have been really helpful. Yeah. And I had so much lightning crotch and I was just this is normal. Like I'm being told I have a big baby. This is just how it's supposed to feel, right? Nope. And it's like, I could have done some more things to help.
Lightning crotch is probably one of the most common issues that we see for our pregnant clients. And that one's tough, but there are lots of things that you can do to try and help with that and make sure. And like going back to what you said, that you experience chiropractic care during pregnancy, chiropractic care can be wonderful. And we love partnering with people who are undergoing chiropractic care. It doesn't have to be an either or scenario. A lot of times when I have some great relationships with different chiropractic providers in the area, and a lot of times when they're doing adjustments and stuff like that, and the patient says, man, it feels good, but it feels like, you know, an hour later, you know, the effects wear off or it doesn't feel like it's sticking around. That's when the chiropractor, a lot of times, will send them to our office. Like, it's like, okay, we got to figure out what's going on musculoskeletally so that when we do these adjustments for you, they last and they feel better and, you know, they give you more relief in that. And so that's one of the scenarios where we commonly will partner together with someone who's already undergoing chiropractic care during pregnancy to kind of, we're not taking over care, we're sharing and just doing, you know, different versions of it or working on different aspects of the patient's care.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. Cause I was like going to kind of ask that, like, how would you guys kind of team up and support each other? But now it's making sense of like the muscular skeletal system with the kind of like pelvic area.
Yeah. And if you've got someone, if a patient is really, you know, has never really considered their pelvic floor until they got pregnant and just has no idea, like just learned that they had a pelvic floor and that it might be problematic, that's especially a good time when to partner with the pelvic physical therapist. Those are the providers who have the training to assess those muscles in all different positions to see what are these things doing and are they doing it correctly. And so, you know, even if we've had many a time where we are only seeing a person for maybe 1, 2, 3 sessions because they're doing well, they just wanted to get assessed. And then, you know, make sure that as they go through their pregnancy, that things continue on in a good fashion for them and that they're ready for labor and delivery. And so a lot of times it's not necessarily like, okay, well, now that you've gotten evaluated, now you have to come once a week for the rest of your pregnancy. And it's like, no, we really try and partner with the person and where they're at and what their needs are. And sometimes it might be, okay, you're doing really well. You're only in your second trimester right now. Let's get back together at the beginning of your third trimester. And at that time, I'm going to teach you how to do perineal massage. We're going to play around with labor and delivery positions. But in the meantime, if something comes up and you're having an issue or whatever, feel free to give a call and we can definitely get you back in and work on things if you happen to start dealing with like sciatica or back pain or lightning crotch or anything like that. So that's how we work with a lot of our clients.
When you get pregnant and you're, you know, first going to see your OBGYN, and it seems like they should be kind of telling us, like, you know, women, like, oh, a chiropractor could be helpful for these type of things, and pelvic floor therapist could help with these type of things, and the comprehensive care that we deserve, frankly, is not happening with traditional OBGYN care.
Very true. I mean, they're definitely, they're slow movements in the right direction, but honestly, yeah, that we are not giving women, birthing people the care that they deserve. And frankly, what we are, the worst maternal health rate in the, like, for, you know, not popular, I was going to say populated countries, that makes no sense.
First world countries?
Yes. For first world countries, we have the worst, you know, maternal, like, you know, death rate. And it's like, really? This is ridiculous. And I know that's an extreme situation, but, you know, I think there's still this mindset in the medical world, like, oh, you're pregnant, you're going to have back pain, you're going to probably leak, you're going to have issues. And that's just part of pregnancy. And, you know, deal with it. And it's like, but there's things you can do to avoid it, and it doesn't, and to prevent, you know, to prevent it. And also, if you're dealing with it, to try and feel better. And so it seems silly that we just let people suffer with it. And especially, you know, when you're pregnant, there's very few like medicinal options that you can take. So it's just like, well, take some Tylenol. And I ask every person, because if I'm seeing a pregnant person for a pain complaint, I was like, you know, what are you doing for the pain? And they all the pregnant women were like, well, I'm taking Tylenol. And I was like, is that helping? And they're like, no, it's not doing anything. It's like, yeah, I gotcha. And it's like, you know, why don't we recommend chiropractic care and, you know, pelvic physical therapy, or, you know, to help these people out? It shouldn't just be like, well, eventually you'll have the baby and hopefully it'll all go away. And then it's like, okay, that's not a great way to kind of go at this.
No, and then it just gets kind of worse after. Like,
yeah, there's been a ton of research out there where if you experience low back pain or pelvic pain during pregnancy, you're like at a 50% higher risk factor to have it, you know, one, continue postpartum, and two, like, to continue on or happen again later in life. So these issues that happen, they may or may not go away after the baby's delivered. And even if they go away, though, sometimes the underlying causes don't. Your body has a better resilience and ability to adapt when it's not pregnant. And so our body can compensate for stuff really well. It has several redundant pathways. So it's like, okay, I can do this, I'm fine. And even though your deep core muscles and your pelvic floor muscles might not be working great, you might not be experiencing leakage or pelvic pressure or heaviness right after, or, you know, in the early months postpartum. But then you start a high intensity workout, or you start trying to run and you have issues. Or the one that honestly a lot of people have trouble kind of linking together is, I'll have women who are like, I was fine when I was pregnant and had my kids. I had two or three kids, didn't have any leakage, didn't have any problems. I'm seeing them in my office now that they've hit menopause. And now menopause changes our hormones, and now the body can't compensate as well. And so these issues that were actually there from the birth of their children are becoming very apparent. And yes, we're probably a couple decades later, but these issues were there for a couple decades and your body was compensating for it. And it's like, and we can still make changes, you know, with that menopausal woman and make, you know, help them get symptom free. It's just going to take longer a lot of times. Whereas if that person was able to come in postpartum for an assessment and see what's going on with their muscles and do a few things early on, they might have, you know, started down a totally different path that didn't even lead them down that path to having problems later on when they became menopausal. So I also think it's kind of a catch 22, or that might not be the right phrase, but hindsight is wonderful, I guess is a good way too, that in the moment when you are in the throes of it with young children at home, and if you're not dealing with a lot of issues, even if you are dealing with issues, it's hard to make time for yourself, and that you're really in the throes of it with your kids. And so we can say, like, every postpartum mom and every pregnant mom should work with a pelvic physical therapist. And yes, I firmly believe that. But I also have to be realistic that not every pregnant or postpartum mom is going to have the bandwidth to be able to do that too. And, you know, so how can we change the narrative to try and at least get some education out there to know, like, when they should, you know, really go partner with the pelvic physical therapist, knowing that they might not always be able to just do that because it's a good idea to do it. Mm-hmm. So I try to be realistic that way.
For sure. Yeah. It's like, oh, I need to go to my mental health therapist appointment. I need mm-hmm. to go to, yeah, chiropractic, physical therapy. It's just, yeah. And then taking your kids to their doctor appointments. It's like, when are we supposed to do anything else?
Yeah. No, that's true. That's
preventative true. Part of it, though, is, I think, key for a lot of this, you know? And just like you talked about learning the massage and pushing positions and just like what muscles you use to push and things like that could help prevent, you know, tears and things like that. So,
yeah, that's probably the biggest change that I see. And it doesn't have to be necessarily someone who's trying for a natural birth. It could be someone who knows that they want to have an epidural or that, but they're like, I'm not going to be able to feel, like, how do I know I'm pushing correctly? And that, and being able to take control and know what it should feel like and what they should be waiting for. So, like, I love when women can have the support of a doula in there with them to help them, you know, kind of think through things and be their second brain in the room a lot of times when your brain's not working great with it. But I'm realistic that isn't always going to be the case for everyone as well. And, you know, sometimes you get those old school labor and delivery nurses who are just like, well, it's, you know, you're dilated, it's time to push. And it's like, you're like, I don't even feel like I need to push. I don't even know how to push. Like, it's like, no, we got to listen to the body a little bit more. And how can we get you in tune with it to know, you know, what that should feel like and how it can happen so that, again, we can, you know, deliver the way that our body intended for, and that, you know, you can minimize the tearing and minimize the need for that episiotomy, and so that your recovery afterwards is doing better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I still remember the first time I went to a pelvic floor therapist, and just during the assessment, it was like, okay, now squeeze the muscles you use when you're stopping pee, or use the muscles you use when you're stopping poop. And like, I never thought those were like, what? Like, yeah, those are separate. Like, what?
Yeah,
it's just hot, like the little amount of knowledge that we have, even about our own bodies, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is, and it's hard though when I think about, like, okay, what could we do? Like, how far back do we have to go? Like, you know, do we have to look at sex ed and like high school classes? I was like, you know what, like. Yes, that'd be awesome to start the conversation earlier. But again, is a teenage girl going to really pay attention to a lecture about pelvic floor? Quite on. Like, you know, I'm trying to think back to how I was as a teenager. And it's like, you know, like, you know, they're talking to you in health class about like osteoporosis. And you're like, that's when I'm like 80. I don't have to think about that. Or, you know, I'm thinking like the same thing would happen if we talked about potentially the pelvic floor, or that, you know, that they, I think it's good to bring it up, but at the same time, they're going to be like, oh, I'm not even, you know, I'm only 16. I'm not even thinking about having babies. And it's like, okay, I get it. But, you know, I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard because even with like when I experienced a lightning crotch with my first, it was just, I thought that I just was supposed to have the pain. Like I thought that it was a normal thing. And then I'm looking back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could have had so much help with the pelvic floor because that was uncomfortable. I felt like,
oh yeah, that one's a tough one.
What, now in the middle?
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, why am I feeling this?
I know. So it's just so good to know, especially like the more care for women out there.
Yeah.
The better the world is.
There you go. There you go. And I'll give a tip out there for if women are experiencing lightning crotch. So lightning crotch, if you don't know what it is that wonderful sensation of like a shooting pain through your crotch that usually happens with what we consider like transitional type movement when you're getting up and down from a chair, or you're trying to roll over in bed, or maybe you used to be able to stand up and put your pants on, but that thought of lifting your leg up off the ground just gives you that shooting pain sensation. And that, so one of the tips that worked well for a lot of people in that scenario is to do what I call belly button breathe. And what I mean by that is if you've been sitting for a while and you're about to get up, what I want you to think about is pull your belly in like you're giving your baby a hug if you're pregnant. Give your butt muscles a little squeeze like you're trying to pinch Penny between your butt cheeks, and breathe out, exhale as you're standing up. What that does is kind of help minimize the pressure through the area, and it gives some support around the pelvic area so that hopefully we're not taking as much load through that pubic bone in the front there. So for some people, simply kind of getting in the practice of doing that when they're getting up from a chair or rolling over in bed or getting out of bed can be helpful.
Yeah. Was anyone else just doing that while you were saying that?
You're like, let me practice. Yes,
I was being pregnant. Pull on my belly button. Okay.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. I felt like I keep almost like having like a layer as I have more pregnancies. Like my first pregnancy, I felt like I was just doing the chiropractic care. And then my second one, I was like doing more massages, more chiropractic care. Mm-hmm. Yoga was really great. And now I'm like, okay, if we have a third, I'm getting the whole team together. We're rallying it up.
There. Nice. I like it. That's awesome.
What's the most common thing that people come to see you for when they're postpartum?
Postpartum, probably one of the most common things is diastasis recti, which is the separation of the abdominal muscles. So first, let me put it out there that in the late third trimester, like almost 100% of pregnant women will have some separation of the abdominal muscles. Is a natural way that our body makes room for the baby. We're still trying to figure out why in some women they get a lot of separation and in other women they don't. And in some women, it just kind of, their abs just kind of go right back together afterwards. And other women need a little bit of help. But we're working on that, trying to figure that aspect out. But we get a lot of women who are concerned about how far apart their abs are. Some people who are listening might wonder, like, how do I even know? Like if you've ever been laying down and you kind of curl your head and shoulders up and you see your stomach kind of dome up, or you feel like you actually like the belly button level can kind of stick your fingers in and it feels like there's kind of almost like a hole there. Those are typical situations where we might be dealing with the separation of abdominal muscles. And those are part of our deep core canister, those abdominal muscles with our diaphragm and our pelvic floor and our back muscles. So if those guys aren't necessarily lining up well or working well together, they can lead to problems in the pelvic area like bladder leakage or pelvic organ prolapse. It can also contribute to low back pain. So many women, we get people who have identified that they have a separation or been told that they have a separation. We also get a group of women who are like, I went back to working out and I've really been trying to get my abs flatter. And the more I work out, the worse they seem. And like, I actually feel like, you know, I had someone ask me today if I was, you know, how many months pregnant was I? And she's like, I'm 6 months postpartum. Like, this sucks. Like, why is someone asking me if I'm still pregnant? And so That's why you never ask a woman if they're pregnant. Like, because you just don't know. So you don't ask that question. That just shouldn't, that's just a public service announcement there. But what we find in a lot of women is that they, the stretching out of the abdominal muscles during pregnancy, and then those muscles kind of having to come back together, sometimes they have trouble finding their way back together. And women get into some really bad holding patterns, especially if they go back to higher level fitness too early than that. And so a lot of women, like, you know, I'll use the example of, you know, you go to a class and they, at the end of class, they're like, okay, we're going to do, you know, leg flutters. Everyone put your legs out straight and we're going to do this for 3 minutes straight. Like, just keep kicking. And again, like I said earlier, your body's great at compensating. So it's going to figure out, like, oh, crud, we got to figure out how to do this. But if you're doing that, and the trainer probably says, now make sure you're breathing and make sure you keep your back flat on the floor and keep your tummy pulled in. And you're just like, I got to do whatever I got to do to be able to do this. And if you feel like you're holding your breath or your back's arching off the ground or your belly's pushing out to do it, like, you're cheating to do it, and you're using pressure out to stabilize. And so if you do that over and over again, you're effectively in an exercise that's supposed to, quote, kind of flatten your abs. If you're pushing your abs out to do it, you're not going to get flat abs by that. And they're just going to keep kind of pushing away. So a lot of what we have to do is kind of retrain people on how to correctly recruit their abdominal muscles, and then progressively load them. Because ultimately, I want people to, women should be lifting heavy. Women should run if they want to run. They should be able to work out any way they want to. It's just, we got to progressively load it that way.
That's really good information.
Yeah. Probably the other most common thing that we see people for postpartum is pain with sex. Quite honestly, that especially if they've had an episiotomy or there was some tearing involved and, you know, there's scar tissue in the area, that green light at 6 weeks postpartum where they say, you're okay to have sex. And they're like, yeah, no,
yeah, that's
not happening. And even then when they do, it can be painful. And so there's a lot of different techniques for getting scar tissue to move and getting the muscles to release. That's, you know, I could talk forever just on this particular topic, because one of my pet peeves is, you know, women, postpartum moms getting, you know, trying, one, getting told at 6 weeks to just go back to sex, and two, they try it, it hurts. They have the courage to call their doctor about it. And the doctor's like, oh, you're postpartum. Yeah, that's going to happen. Why don't you just drink some more wine, get drunk and try and do it. It'll be better. And that's the medical advice that I've had some of my patients be given. And so then the next time that they are brave enough to try sex and it hurts again, now they're not calling their doctor, because, like, they're like, well, the last time that my doctor only told me to drink wine, like, this is not great advice. So now the problem perpetuates itself, because they've had pain now a couple times, and now they don't think that the medical world can help them. It's like, dude, if they'd just been referred to pelvic physical therapy, we probably could have, in a couple of sessions, gotten everything moving better, and they could have gotten back to pain-free, enjoyable sex really easily. But instead, what happens is they end up not having a lot of sex, or they think, like, they're just doomed to have painful sex, and maybe they're brave enough to bring it up again at their, like, annual checkup appointment. But they've suffered now for what, 9, 10 months, almost a year, with dealing with painful sex. And it's like, no, like, there's things people can do. And the earlier we get to them, the quicker the changes can be. So,
yeah, I was surprised at how different sex felt after having a, like, I know it seems like it should be something that we would know, but it was different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And not something that people talk about a lot. So,
yeah. No.
Yeah.
I apologize if I didn't know the PG levelness of where we could go. But yeah, I talk freely about pain with sex and stuff like that.
As you should. It's such good information. I mean, because usually women, I feel like, will chalk it up to, like, oh, I'm dry, or, like, cool, you know, like, my hormones are off, I'm just drier. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you just keep doing it because you feel like you have to. And
yeah, which it is very common. Dryness, especially if you're breastfeeding, your vaginal tissue is going to be more dry. Mm-hmm. Lube and more lube is your friend. So like, even if you didn't use lube beforehand, and like, use lube now, like, yeah. If you were early postpartum, use lube. So, and there are some postpartum moms that, yeah, their hormone levels are wacky. And I do recommend them talking to their OBGYN to get some topical, estrogen for their vaginal tissue to really help kind of plump it up and make it more supple. So there are those components to it. And I talk freely with my patients about different types of lube and what they should be using that way. Mm-hmm. And then we also do address any of the musculoskeletal issues that might be contributing to the pain that they're having.
Love it.
Cool.
Yeah. That is awesome.
Cool.
Well, I'm just ready for your office to open up so I can give you guys a call.
Nice. That works.
I just literally can't even describe. I've just been in this pain for way too long. So
yeah, no, that's not good. No. I don't want you dealing with that pain.
Okay, cool.
Anything else you guys want to know about, or you think your audience would want to know about?
You've done like, just, it's all amazing. I never really realized how much goes into it, and all of like, my chiropractor is always telling me how much I overcompensate. And so like, can constantly, my lower back is like hurting, like during my workouts, I do F45.
Cool.
And I feel like I'm always compensating because it's like, oh, you should like feel this in your abs, but yet I feel it in my back.
Yeah.
So.
And sometimes it, like, a lot of times people come in, they're like, well, I want to know what the best, like, am I doing the right exercises? What are the best exercises, like, for my abs or for my back? And there's really not necessarily, there aren't any bad exercises. It's just how you do the exercise. And so in a class situation, or that they, like, the trainer doesn't necessarily, and even sometimes one-on-one, doesn't necessarily get to or know to lay hands on you and to feel what you're doing. So like, that's what we do in our assessment and our treatments, is to really be like, okay, like, you're showing me this, you know, double leg lower abdominal exercise, but the way you're doing it is faulty. And so we need to, like, I need you to think about this and this instead of, you know, I need you to think about A and B instead of C. Try it that way. Now, do you feel it in your abs? Oh, I do. Or nope, it's still too much. I only feel it in my back. Okay, let's modify it a different way. Maybe you can only do a single leg lower right now and feel it in your abs. And so we play around with modifications to it until you get feeling what you're supposed to feel with it. And that, it wasn't until I went to PT school that I learned why I have the world's tightest hip flexors, and that because I played basketball and tennis growing up. I played Division I basketball in college. And so I always was doing a lot of weight training and, you know, a lot of, I put in quotes, core exercise. And I am 6'2", have really long legs, and they're big and strong and muscular, so they weigh a lot too. And all of these ab exercises, my abs were like, screw you, I'm not doing this. Let another muscle group do it. And so I was using my hips, and it wasn't until I went to PT school that I was like, well, that makes sense why I never felt any of those exercises in my abs. Like, I just cheated. I was using all these other muscles to do it. And why, for a long time, I had back pain and issues too. I was like, oh, I was cheating. And I didn't realize it because I didn't know any better. They're like, you know, I'm listening to the trainer who's like, this is an ab exercise. And I was like, all right, if you say so, but I don't feel it there. Because our body, like I said earlier, is great at compensating. It'll find a way to do what we need it to do. And eventually, though, that compensation might be problematic.
Absolutely. So I went onto your website, and I was just looking at some like resources and like blog posts that you have. If you want to just share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so our website is www. I guess you don't need the www anymore, but I still say it. And that, so it's legacytherapystl.com. And we try to provide a lot of free information on our website because we know a lot of people have no clue that pelvic physical therapy is even a thing and what are the things it can help with. So we have various free reports on different topics like pregnancy pains or the diastasis recti or bladder leakage, pelvic organ prolapse. We put out a different blog post every week on different topics. I think our most recent one was on endometriosis, which is another painful condition that a lot of women can face throughout their lifetime. Mm-hmm. We also try and do it in nice little small tidbits of information on the social media side of things. So all of our social handles are Legacy Physical Therapy, STL, on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Pinterest. But we like doing it in kind of the edutainment form, where we try and make it a little bit more entertaining or in smaller bites so that we're just continuing to help kind of get that pelvic education out there for people.
Wrong. That is awesome.
Sorry. Are you able to help with like endometriosis pain?
So yeah, endometriosis is when the endometrial tissue, which is in the lining of the uterus, gets outside of the uterus and can cause problems by adhering to other tissues, and it still goes through its menstrual cycle, even though it's outside of the uterus. So pelvic physical therapy cannot cure endometriosis. Unfortunately, we have not yet found a cure for endometriosis, other than, and it's not really a cure, but there's surgical excision techniques for it by highly trained surgeons. But pelvic physical therapy can help to get the adhesions and the non-moving tissue moving better. And when there's pain in an area, it's very common for our body to kind of tense down around that area as a way of kind of a messed up way of protecting that area. So a lot of times we get a lot of tension through the abdominal wall and in the hips and the pelvic floor and back and buttocks muscles. So the pelvic physical therapy can work with that to help try and make sure that those muscles are moving as freely and help, and that usually helps to control some of the pain and issues that people are dealing with endometriosis.
Okay. Wow. That's
interesting. Yep.
I love that. I just listened to a podcast on the Big Little Feelings podcast on endometriosis, and the other one, the endometri, or
it's adenomyosis.
Adenomyosis.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how painful it is, and I just. Know, like a lot of people that have suffered from endometriosis. So it's just, yeah,
it's tough. And that is one of those diagnoses, unfortunately, that I think the stat is now that those women will see 7 to 9 providers before they actually get the right diagnosis. And then even when they get the right diagnosis, unless their provider is highly trained in the surgical excision of the endometrial tissue, they still don't necessarily have a great answer or help for them. And so we have very few surgeons in the United States who have the proper training to really work on this. And so it's an area that needs a lot of growth in the medical field.
Yeah. I remember a girl I used to work with was like, oh, I just like feel so much weight lifted off my shoulders because I finally figured out it was endometriosis. And I'm like, wait, what?
You're like, what?
Yeah. It was wild to hear.
I still don't understand that stat as to why it takes that long. Cause like, I'll hear someone come in, maybe their friend will tell them like, oh, maybe try pelvic physical therapy to help with your pain and that. And they'll come in and they'll start telling me a story. And I was like, has anyone ruled in or out endometriosis? They're like, no. I was like, I want to. Like, I wish I could. Like, the gold standard for diagnosing endometriosis is laparoscopic surgery to basically go inside and look. And so there isn't necessarily an easy test or anything for it, but it's still the symptoms of it get passed over too many times and people just get kind of shoved through the medical system. And it's like, boo.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Thank you so much again for coming on and sharing your expertise. You said your website, and then you said people can find you on social media at Legacy Physical Therapy STL.
Yep. Legacy Physical Therapy STL is our handle on social media. And then Legacy Therapy STL is our website. So I'm happy to answer anyone's questions. If you want to reach out to me personally, you can email me directly. That's just Brooke@LegacyTherapySTL. I'm happy to be a resource for people.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I had no idea that you were so close to the Shack.
Yes. Is it right? It's our shopping center is dangerous. Like, there's too many.
Yeah, there's our shopping center.
It is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again, Brooke. It was so great to have you on. And I just really appreciate all the information you shared.
You're really welcome. It's been fun talking with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Golden Hour Birth Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed our discussion and found it insightful and beneficial. Remember, the Golden Hour Birth Podcast is made possible by the support of listeners like you. If you appreciate the content we bring you each week, consider leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platform or sharing the show with your friends and family. Your support helps us reach more people and continue creating valuable episodes. If you have any questions, suggestions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, www.goldenhourbirthpodcast.com. Or connect with us on social media. We value your feedback and want to make sure that we're delivering the content you want to hear. Before we sign off, we'd like to express our gratitude to our incredible guests who joined us today. We are honored that they trust us enough to be so open and vulnerable. We're grateful for their time and willingness to share their stories with us. If you're interested in taking the conversation further with us, join us on our Facebook group, the Golden Hour Birth Circle. We'll be back next week with another exciting episode, so be sure to tune in. Until then, stay golden and remember to take care of yourself. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Golden Hour Birth Podcast. Bye!